and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. What does that mean? It means that you will be given to see that knowledge that is not put into life is useless. So what that is, you know, all that proprium has is memory knowledges and natural good to cover itself with. And so what this is stating is that that state is going to be exposed from root to branch. It's that sense of self that we have acquired from the love of self and love of the world. That is the firstborn that has to die so that the secondborn can come into being, which is the Lord. The Lord in the sense of the heavenly proprium. So unless the firstborn dies, the secondborn, if you like, can't come into being. You can't be born again. Now, just to add that that's all in terms of appearances and experience, because in the section on charity, it highlights that good is first and primary. But the experience is that truth is first. It appears as if we get truth first and then we move towards what is good. But it is good that has produced that truth that we have come across. So good is always the primary, or love is primary, and truth is the means by which love is established. So evil is a condition that resists the Lord, the inflow of the Lord. So the sense of self that is developed or constituted from the loves of self and the world, that sense of self is nothing but evil and falsity. So there is nothing in that self that desires anything spiritual, full stop. It's not interested. It's totally self-absorbed, self-referencing, all of that. The possibility for something different can only arise as truths begin to make their presence felt, and that there is a willingness to use them for the purpose for which they are given. And when that effort starts to happen, it arises from the influence of remains being opened up and something new beginning to form. But there's still very much a sense of ownership in it. But through the work with truths, there is a realization that the Lord is the only one who can do any of this work. We don't do it. It's just pure and simple. There's nothing in and of ourselves that does this work. But it is given to us as if we do it. And that is the law of reciprocity, which means that, yes, while the Lord is the sole and only doer, the way the conditions are set is that you have to act as if of yourself, as fervently and as honestly and as straightforwardly as you can. And that provides the means by which the Lord can become more and more established, you know, from our perspective, that we can become more conscious in a lived way that the Lord is the only doer, although it appears as if I am doing. And so in that early part of Genesis, you have outlined there three different propriums. You have a natural proprium, a spiritual proprium, and a celestial proprium. And so what is proprium? Proprium is a sense of self. And a natural proprium believes in itself. It believes the feeling that that inflow of life being from itself. And so it is in love with the feeling of being an independent, autonomous being and exercising control. Spiritual sense of self is also in love with itself, but it knows that that's probably not a great thing. So it is in a battle, right? It's in combat. That's what the spiritual self is. The celestial sense of self is an as of self. Doesn't want a self, but is granted one. And that is what's termed as of self. Now, the reality of the situation is that where finite beings are concerned, there is only an as of self. There's no other kind of self. The Lord alone is self, and the as of self is all that is possible for a finite being, right? The problem, therefore, is not that we have to try and be an as of self, because we will be trying to do that from ourself. So it's just going to fail. It's going to be just a vicious cycle. So what we call the merit-guilt cycle. What the work involves is removing what blocks the Lord being present. It's not a work of making the Lord present, because the Lord's already omnipresent. He doesn't have to come from anywhere to anywhere, but there is an appearance of separation due to our belief in ourself. And that is what has to be removed. And the term evil in that sense is simply believing in yourself as an independent, autonomous being. That can't give rise to anything but evil, because it's a claim that you are God, that you have life in yourself. So the Lord can't flow into that. So the work is a incremental, slow progression of laying down that self which claims authority and giving the word authority in our life. Now, if you say, like, well, I am either this or that, then you've fallen into the trap of there being an I that can be this or that, right? Like, it's nuanced. So what you could do is you could look at that and then say, okay, it's not either or at all, because there's no established self that has any reality that can be either or. But while we're identified, yes, it will be either or, and we will have to respond in accordance with our understanding of things. So the sense of self is provided by the Lord. It's provided by the Lord, but it is not a self in the sense of the Lord being a self. It's an appearance of a self, because that's all that a finite being can have. And so that is why truths are given that point that out, so that we don't fall into, well, I was going to say we don't fall into the trap, but, you know, we're kind of enmeshed in it, but we can know that we're enmeshed in it. And that's a big factor. So that self is instrumental and absolutely essential so far as the unfolding of those processes involved in the regeneration of the human mind. There has to be a sense of agency, but that sense of agency is provided by the Lord for the purpose of the end. It is not a sense of agency that makes me something that holds those qualities that are divine, right? So to be divine is to live from oneself. To be finite is to live from another. That's the law. So that 795 subsection 2, you can think of that as that which needs to be totally condemned is the infernal proprium. It has to be seen for what it is, otherwise we will hang on to it. And so thinking from a state perspective, it has to be fully seen for what it is. So this is the man that needs to be fully uncovered. So the concept of damnation is not something that someone or something suffers. It is the state of the thing being revealed. The term damnation is a description of the very state of the thing that's being exposed. It's not something done to it. It is always damned because it doesn't receive what is heavenly. It can't. So proprium is described as hell. So that's what the infernal proprium is. It's already damned, but we have to come to see that that is the case. And that's the process of regeneration, coming to see it for what it is, coming to believe that what the word declares it to be is actually true. And in that process, we come to see who the Lord is more and more fully as Savior and Redeemer. So what the infernal proprium has, in order to give it a sense of the illusion or the delusion of autonomy, is memory knowledges and natural good. That's all it has. Memory knowledges worked in a way whereby it can use those to give it a sense of independence and autonomy and justify its own existence and all of that. But that's all the magic of Egypt, right? That's what's described by the magic of Egypt, because there's nothing substantial in it. It's purely illusionary. And this is what has been unpacked through all the plagues and now is coming to its fulfillment. So everything we've been reading about up to this point in this process is what is concealed being uncovered. That's what it is. This is it. And the death of the firstborn is the precursor to the liberation of the Israelites from Egypt. So the exposing is a good thing. You know, it is the means by which liberation occurs. And again, it's thinking rather of the exposure as an act of love and mercy, because all the Lord wants is for us to be liberated from our belief in ourselves at the level of the senses, right? The serpent, you know, the whisperings of the serpent. You know, the Lord wants to set us free from believing that to be something real. So, you know, if the Lord could give us a new self right now, then he would. But the new self can only come into being as the old self is laid down. And it's the laying down of it that takes the time or the multitude of states that are required to detach our sense of self from that infernal proprium so that it can be reestablished and grounded in the heavenly proprium. You know, unless you lay down yourself for my sake. That's that idea. So he who loses his life for my sake shall find it, and he who finds his life, which is live for one's own sake, shall lose it. So, yeah, I mean, I know the process is difficult, but the end, we've got to just, you know, keep coming back to the Lord is working to an end, and it's the liberation of the human race from its propensity to make itself into a god. You know, like that's really what this is about.